Hello, Bernie.
Hello, doll.
This is Kathy Cook, the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show. I'm back with Bunny Brown and my best friend since before birth, and she has gotten so many orbs this past week that I just decided to bring her back because it's just amazing. I tried to upload them for everybody to see, but she just got back from the cemetery and had me upload them really quick, and it just didn't work, but I'm going to be working on them while I'm talking to you guys on the air. Hello, we're on the air. Bunny, you got an amazing one that is just swirling, and it's like a pink one this time. But I want to talk to you. This is amazing. You took one with the sun kind of enhancing one, and you said that just goes to show you that they are energy.
Yes, they are energy. They're absolutely energy. I took one this afternoon, and I was actually taking pictures of the sun, and when where the ray comes out, you can see the source that it comes down towards the ground, and then there's a green orb, and then it actually scoops around somebody's flowers. I do believe that orbs are energy. I had never seen an orb, did not know what an orb was. And after my son passed away, I started seeing it was in my peripheral vision, sort of like a twinkling. I thought there was something wrong with my eyes, went to the eye doctor, and there wasn't. And very slowly they started moving around towards the front. And then I started seeing them during the day going like from window to window. And I kept thinking, I'm just going nuts. And then I realized I wasn't the only one watching them. My dog was watching them too, and then I just said, you know, I'm seeing this. I wonder if my camera will pick it up. And so I went out, and sure enough, I started seeing them, and I was pointing. A girlfriend actually of mine was with me, and I said, there's one there, and she took the picture. One there, she took it, one there, and she was like, oh, my gosh, Bunny, everywhere you're pointing, I am picking an orb up. So at that point, we just started getting them pretty much all the time, and then I started getting colored orbs. And if Kathy can get this...
yeah, I'm working on it.
Working on it. I've got one that's a hot pink fuchsia, and I've gotten orange orbs, I've gotten green orbs, and a lot of white orbs, and I have actually a couple of them look like moon, and I have a couple that actually have a tail on them. You can see that they're moving, and anyway, I just think it's really interesting.
Why don't you tell the listening audience what an orb is versus what it isn't, and kind of let's do a backup of what the show was last week and versus, you know, how we proved, and we are going to prove with some of our photos of the dust particles, taking pictures of dust, and taking pictures of mist, like we were doing, and then pictures of orbs and the pictures of inside of orbs and how we've enhanced the photographs to make them come up real close so that you can actually see inside the orbs.
Yes. Actually, Kathy and I went out on our back porch when we were originally looking at pictures, and we got some mist. And we actually took pictures with the digital, and it doesn't look anything like what I've gotten.
I've got some with the 35mm back in behind the barn too.
They're smaller, and there are tons of them. Whereas when you get, I think, a true orb, you'll get one, you know, by itself. Normally, it's very bright. It's illuminated from the inside. Some of them will have tails on them. And then the dust, if you take like a pillow and shake it really, really, really hard and then do your digital, you'll also see that there are just tons of them everywhere. And some people say that, I know orbs are energy. I feel like they are energy. Some people say that orbs are spirits. I'm not really sure what I believe. I feel like that that spirits are energy. So when you're getting an orb, you're getting some form of energy. But to prove that that is a human that is passed on in a orb, I don't know if that's true or not. But I will say that, you know, I have picked them up at the cemetery around where my son is buried. I picked them up in the church, and I've picked up a lot in my home. And prior to him passing away, I did not know what an orb was. I did not pick up any orbs in my home at all. I had never seen them, but all of this started after he passed away. So,
and he passed away when?
January 6, 2007. He was in a motorcycle accident, and he was killed on impact. And all of this started shortly, all of this and all of the other things that I've gotten started very shortly after he passed away. So I do think there is a correlation.
And you all heard me talk about the knowing and my dad coming to me after my dad passed away in 2005, which if you go to my archives on March the 13th, is all about the knowing and how I would get numbers and foreign words. And my photographs of the very first archive with a spirit photograph and orbs of at the beach of that came to me after my dad's passing. So it all coincides. I just didn't share it with Bunny or any of my friends here in the real, I call it the real world, the real life, because I just didn't, because I didn't know who to talk to. I talked to people on the internet, and I talked to people in the like minds because I just didn't know what to do. But I did talk to Bunny about it, and I talked to some of my close friends about it hesitantly and showed them some of my photographs, but I was real, real sketchy about it. I shared it with my mother because she felt half amputated off, you know, when Daddy died. But other than that, I was just real sketchy about it. If anybody has any stories to talk about with orbs or spirits, let me give you the call in numbers. The toll-free number is to BBS Radio. This is the greatest radio show, radio station on the internet. It is 877-876-5227, USA and Canada. And, excuse me? That is toll-free, 877-876-5227. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. If you have any stories to tell, if you have anything to discuss with Bunny Brown, or if you have anything that any stories to tell, or just you want to call in for any reason at all, just please do so. The lines are open. And you will just get directly into talking to us about anything that you wish to talk about. I do see that there are going to be some specialists on, I believe, if you go to the direct webpage, www.bbsradio.com, they have got up there, it says, what the bleep do we know about orbs in May. So it's going to be a really good, BBS Radio has all kinds of really good people on at all times, specialists with UFOs, orbs, ghost hunting, beyond the living, just angelic doctors, just all kinds of stuff. Just it's just the greatest radio show ever. So, Bunny, I wanted to ask you also, Edward's girlfriend has also gotten some photographs.
Yes, she has. She, you know, of course, people want to speculate, and then they'll ask questions and say, well, you know, did you use a 35-millimeter? Yes, we've got some with a 35-millimeter. And the one of the ladies at the photo place said, you know, you really don't want to use 35-millimeter because you can get double exposure, and at that point you can have, you know, people saying, well, that's two frames in one. So we use a digital. She has Can I give a name?
Uh-huh.
She has a Kodak. I had a Fuji, and now I have a Sony. My other one broke. My daughter dropped it and broke it.
Your camera's right there.
Anyway, we've used several different,
this is a Polaroid digital.
Polaroid digital, yeah. We have used several different cameras and
my the Minolta.
Yeah, and I do see the orbs. And I've pointed them out to people and they've actually seen them also, and it scared them at first, sort of like it did me. I didn't know what was going on, and in fact, I was seeing a doctor, and I took all the pictures to him, and he seemed more taken with my pictures, and he kept saying, oh, you're just fine. Let me see your pictures, and he was just absolutely, he said, this is amazing. It was the first time he had actually seen pictures from people that he knew. He said that there's a DVD, What the Bleep Do We Know, and that goes more into energy, orbs, spirits, and that kind of thing, and how all of it is produced and made, and it just all goes back to, you know, a molecule, and molecules are energy, and so anyway, he just said this happens to millions of people all over the world, that, you know, I wasn't being singled out, that I was just able to start, you know, picking this up, and I do feel like my son has a lot to do with this, because I am getting letters also, his initials, his girlfriend's initials, my initials, angels, I got a cherub.
That's on your MySpace. We made a video.
Yes.
There's of one of those music videos that I make on the photo bucket. If you go to, scroll down to where you go to my webpage on Yes Radio, if everybody knows how to do that. If they don't, gosh, I'm sitting here just blank-minded because I'm just in awe over all this. But if you could scroll down to Thursday in the menu, those of you that are on the computer, webpage, the main webpage, and scroll down to, excuse me, scroll down to Thursday, go to Bright Light Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, and click on that name, and then go to the webpage and click on Bunny and Edward's photograph. It will take you to Bunny's MySpace page, and if you go down just a little bit to the left, you will see a little photo bucket video. And you will get to see, it's got music to it, so you won't be able to hear us speak on the radio. But if you'll save that, then, you know, till after the show, then you'll get a really great treat. What I was going to tell you also is go to Bunny's MySpace page, and underneath her picture on her MySpace, if you click on photos, pics, now where would you like them to go there?
There's three sections. One's called Angels, Rainbows, and More. One of them's called He's Back, and then the other one's just called Angels. And there are three separate groups of pictures. Kathy and I are going to try to get all of those on together in correlation, because we actually asked questions once, and he drew the answers to our questions. We were questioning him. My daughter's pregnant, and we were asking, you know, about pregnancy and about her pregnancy, and the first letters that I got were a DW, 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 and one of his best friends, I don't want to give his name, but his initials are DW. He and his wife had just had a baby. And then he did two sections. That's when we said, do you know Amy's pregnant? And he did like two long lines of rattles. And then I went on and I asked him, I said, can you tell us what Amy's going to have?
And he did like a circle with the bee, circle with the bee, circle with the bee. And I started jumping up and down. I said, oh, good, it's a boy. And my daughter said, no, it's not. He doesn't know. But it turned out 6 weeks later, she did have an ultrasound, and she is having a boy. So, and the first letter that we got was E, and his name was Edward. It split up green, white, and we were at the cemetery, and I started seeing these little dots, and I didn't know what they were, so I started taking pictures of them, and that's when the first letter came up, and the first letter we got was an E. And then after that, my name's Bunny. I started getting a bunch of B's, and if you'll go on that one site, it says an E, and there's a V, and my nickname was Mama Vu, and he would always just go vu, 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 vu at me and just rub his face all over me. But that's what he always called me, was just Mama Vu. And so that there's an E and a V connected, and then his initials were ES, and you can see where he formed an E, and then there's an S on the end. And the fives are, I had five children. That was on Mother's Day last year. I got that, and I got five hearts. I got the E and the B together, and I got M. And I think that was for Mother's Day. And then the cherub, my granddaughter's birthday Sunday, I think that was for her. You can see it's a little girl. And I'm hoping I'm going to get some more things this weekend because it's usually around holidays and around people's birthdays. Last year, I think the balloons are on there, but you'll see it looks like balloons. And that was also my granddaughter's birthday. It's when she was five. And he's such an artist. He was an artist. He was an awesome artist. He could draw himself. He could draw people to the point they look exactly identical. But it just goes to show you how they try to communicate from beyond. Yes. He's letting us know that he's here and that he's okay. So it's like two different things are going on here. Orbs and the writing in the sky.
Mm-hmm. But it all started with the orbs.
Right. We started getting the orbs first. I started seeing the orbs, and then I still see them.
I as well went to the eye doctor. I saw the first way I saw auras, and I saw the, like, pictures on the wall, and I saw, when I moved my eyes to another wall, I saw the aura from the picture, like a photographic picture, you know, like a picture that I had on the wall. And I would move my eyes to another, and I saw the peripheral vision to the other wall. I saw the same exact picture, you know, like that hung on the wall to the other wall. But then I started looking out, and I've got this all on tape recording, because I tape recorded myself talking, you know, and waking up. I call it an awakening. I ain't never talked to you about all this, so, you know, this is what we call it on the Internet, and, you know, people talking and the knowing is awakenings. Remember when I told you Only Debbie Knows, that video, or that tape recording where Debbie... I went out to Debbie's house, Debbie Doody Head, Debbie Super Sister. One of our WAS club members, you know, the women that we hung around with since we were little. I went out to Debbie's house, and the tape's called Only Debbie Knows because I didn't tell you girls. Uh-huh. But I call it the baby soft spot opening up in my head, and I was trying to slow down enough to get it to open up. And I would look out at the auras in the trees. And I would clap my hands together, and let me just back up a minute. You know how you read clouds? You know, like you look at clouds and you see the images in a cloud.
Yes.
Okay, well, at night, if you look at the full leaves and you see through them, like the funny papers that you used to have, and you used to look through the images of the funny papers, and you would finally focus your eyes to see the actual images in the papers, and you would finally focus in, and you'd see all these different things. I don't know why they don't do that anymore. That was just brilliant.
Those were neat. Yeah.
But if you look through the leaves in the trees and through to the sky, you can actually see the leaves' energies touching each other and dancing and prancing. You can see the aura around the energies in the leaves. That's how I started seeing, because I was like, I see pictures, and I, you know, going from one place to another on the peripheral vision. And so I thought it was like a migraine coming on or something,
uh-huh.
because I'd had a migraine before that did that same thing. So I went to the eye doctor, and my mother went with me because she's like my sidekick, as you know Mimi is. And there was nothing wrong with my eyes. There was absolutely nothing wrong with my eyes. And then I kept hearing this high, high pitch in my ears, and, you know, it was just this amazing. But I had stood out at the ocean, and I said, okay, God, remove all people, places, and things out of my life that are not of your will, that are not on the same path that I am, that are not part of this thing. You know, I want to hear, see, feel, think, and do as you are in my life. And bam, that's when I got a divorce. That's when, you know, people just started falling out of my life. And that's just when, you know, I just started writing in my journal. And just, you know how I just changed like that. You remember back in 92?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was just like, Kathy's just not so different, you know, and funny, it's just amazing how life just changes on you like
yes,
that.
It does. It's like you live in chapters.
Yeah, and we are writing a book, and, you know, at the bottom, at each day, or at any time, you know, one thing that I have said, you know, before, on as a matter of fact, even on BBS, is that, you know, we are in charge of writing our script, and we're in charge of our own screenplay, and, you know, we're the directors of our own lives, and we're writing it every day. But at the end, we've got a sharpened pencil, we've got a clean piece of paper, and we can turn the page, and we can even call it a clean slate, you know. But it's a shame that other people, this is one thing that, changing the subject from the org perspective, that other people don't know the difference between control and concern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they want to take you as a puppet, and they want to pull on your strings. Like, one thing with me, I know, funny, you know, in the past, as I just want to discuss this a second, you know, just because, you were talking to me about boundary classes, and because I'm so loving and gentle and kind all the time, and I'm what they call a passive-aggressive person because I'm so passive and loving and kind that I'll just take what anybody says and just run with it, and then all of a sudden I'll just run it and run it and run it, and then when something I need, I'll have to harp on it because it's like I'm not heard. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then people think, what is wrong with her? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, y'all don't, but my family does. And it's like, God love them. But I love my family to death, but it's like a control to concern thing with them. But, I just wanted to say that. I just need to learn boundaries.
You need to learn how to set boundaries.
Right.
In a constructive way, and not wait until you. I think women are like that anyway. We won't leave, and then we get pushed, you know, into a corner, and then we come out and say and do things that we might not necessarily need to say and do, but because we've been pushed past the line. We do that. I think a lot of times women need to stop, put their feet in and say, you know, I appreciate your concern, but I'm going to stop this now before anyone gets hurt. You know, I love you. You love me. This is wonderful. I love our relationship, but this is where I draw the line. And if you choose to be mad at me, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. But I have to do what's right for me, and this is what's right for me, and I'm going to set my boundaries now. But I think women as a whole do have a tendency to allow themselves to be pushed farther because most women we are raised that way. You know, we're the caretakers. We're the ones to always run to if something's wrong, if you're hurt. And because we have been preconditioned to act this way, then we also swallow too much than we should. So
I think, yeah, Kathy, with your family, I know they mean well, but there is a dynamic that's going on there that only you are going to be able to stop. You can stop anybody in a very correct way, but you need to be able to stop them well before they push you into the wall. Because when you're pushed into the wall, tendencies are people blow up and they come out and say and do things that they shouldn't have to say and do. And nobody should be ever put into that position. But yeah, I think that women, yeah, I think we all do that. I know I do. And
I'm just blown away that my garage is empty, my house is empty, and all the stuff is empty when I went to the hospital for my heart and stuff. And I mean, I know that people mean well, and my teeth are cut, and my house has changed a lot, but, you know, I didn't have any say-so in the matter, but, you know.
That's
I know that that's sweet and everything, but I'm shocked.
You
I don't have anything to show for my life anymore. My whole life is gone, you know. But,
no.
But I mean, where's my stuff, you know what I'm saying? You know, but it's okay.
You can't take your stuff with you.
No, you can't.
But what you do have to share for your life.
But my boundaries
have been violated.
Yeah,
you've been violated.
But it was sweet. But, you know, I think that I just need to know. I don't know how to say thank you very much for your concern. I know what to say. Thank you very much for your concern, but I'll take it in consideration and then do what I need to do from there. But you know, that's water under the bridge and it's all done. And anyway,
I'm gonna handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You have raised three children.
Yes, I have beautiful children, sweet dear children.
You can
very
raise children, you can do
children.
Anything in this world.
Oh my gosh. We were all stars and we were they went to the World Series, they were in dance lessons, we went.
Yeah.
We did our kids with everything together.
Yeah. Those are very
firemen. I got a fireman's son that drives the water tank truck. And
yeah.
He came over and took salt off of me the other night.
That sounded delightful. He had put in chicken, tomatoes, and green beans.
And he fried it all up. So far. That's Matthew Cashew. And he just whipped that stuff up. I call it concoction. But they seem to be doing real well, and your children seem to be doing real well.
Yeah.
You know what I learned? I raised my children, and this is a good thing. I raised my children with the way that I wanted to be raised. With when they did something wrong, I let them choose their own consequences. And you went on, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes,
that's the
I
day
did.
I met Pete.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about Oprah Winfrey.
I went on Oprah Winfrey to discuss spanking or not spanking.
With your twin sister, Bonnie.
Yes. And my younger sister, Julie. And
we were raised so quarrelful.
Yes. I was never spanked, ever.
And I didn't spank my children.
And
either.
I never spanked my children. And I don't think spanking works. Well, we say that Oprah... There was a psychologist that was on, and a pediatrician, and Oprah and myself, and we were the only four, I believe, in the entire audience that felt like not spanked. Anyway, long story short, we came home, and my younger sister never spanked her children again, and I continued.
What's the green room?
The green rooms really are green. There's one on one end of the studio downstairs. And there's one on the other, and opposing.
I'm just asking you this because I already know because I want to support you.
Opposing,
and it was so fun, but
opposing guests or whatever.
September the 17th was the party.
Yes, opposing guests with different views stay in the different green rooms, and there's fruit, and there was cheese and water, and you were not allowed to take your camera in. Couldn't take pictures. And the hall in between the two rooms actually had pictures of, like, Tom Cruise, John Travolta, all the great stars that she had on. And
what's Oprah like?
She's wonderful. Very Southern. She's more beautiful in person. She is exquisite.
Very friendly, very outgoing. She stayed and she talked to her audience. She's a really people person, and she's a genuine.
And she stayed and talked to y'all.
Mm-hmm. She did.
So you went in the green room. Tell us from the beginning how you went in and all that. Oh, and you stayed in a exquisite hotel, and you rode the buggy bus up and down.
Yes, we stayed at the Meridian in Chicago.
I don't know why I didn't go with y'all.
They paid for the flight from Charlotte, and we were picked up by a limousine and taken to the Meridian, and you're giving vouchers instead of money. So you can, you know, take your vouchers down to the restaurant, which was really nice, and order, you know, food, and then they picked us up the next day morning really early.
Oh, Winfrey.
And drove us to Harpo Studios in Chicago. It's truly the biggest place I think I've ever been in my whole life, and you see everything. I was just coming from Charlotte, North Carolina. It was an astounding, but it was a wonderful, wonderful visit because there's so many different walks of life there. But anyway, they took us to Harpo Studios, and they took our cameras away from us. And then we went to the green room, and then they called us from the green room, and they put my makeup on, and it was hideous.
Oh, my me. They put your makeup on.
Yes, and I looked hideous. But anyway.
Oh, how fun. I thought the show was great.
Yeah, then you go and sit out there, and then the stage opens up. And actually, the studio is much larger in person than it is on TV.
And everybody claps.
Yes. And then
Julie sat in the audience, didn't she?
No, Julie actually was on stage with us.
Was she really?
Yeah.
That's your sister?
Yes.
Julie, girly, girly, whirly, whirly.
Yes, Julie was on. Julie's my younger sister. And then I had my twin sister who refused to speak.
We gave her such a hard time.
Yeah. And
was she there when we put the mattress out, the king-size mattress out the window?
Yeah, but she was too young. She didn't know that. Kathy and I, and Bonnie, my twin, decided we were going to go out and roll a yard one night. Which
the,
we did.
The principal's yard.
Yes, principal's yard. And so on our way.
With Betty Begonia.
We out or in? We were going out, in, coming back in, and we grabbed hold of the bed to pull ourselves back in and pull the mattress out. It was just,
and here we went to finishing school.
Yes, and almost knocked the curtains down. And my parents did not hear us beyond me, but we did that. And
but that night I got my first blue jean jacket because I thought I was somebody. Oh, and I chased the garbage truck the next morning on my hands and knees. That was my dad. Anyway, I am really from finishing school. The debutante kicked me out, though. Anyway, let's get back to Oprah. I just had to put that in there.
All right. Well, anyway, it was a lot of fun, and we got a coffee mug, and I have two letters from her, and
I write on the Oprah magazine sometimes too.
Yeah,
she's
an amazing
person.
She is. She was an amazing person, and her executive producers called, and they made all the arrangements, and very, very nice.
Tell us about the pros and cons of spanking, and not spanking, and then I'll tell you how I raised my children.
Okay. I was never spanked, so
did you do the Tim LaHaye?
No.
You know, how to break the will without breaking the spirit?
No.
I went to those classes at Calvary Preschool.
Really?
Yeah. Remember when I taught children's gymnastics and exercise?
Mm-hmm.
And I called it Tumble Club, and I did the fine and gross motor skills from one of my, from my 168 hours of school. I was a professional student. And Maybe jumped on the trampoline today, by the way. 52 years old. Whoop, woo. Anyway, one of the Was Club members, we still roller skated in and out the Masses and backs and kept in good shape, but maybe still does all that. But Madeline T.T. is the godmother of my children. But at Calvary Preschool, I went to Tim LaHaye classes. And what I was going to ask you, if you discussed on, you didn't do that on Oprah, but I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead. That's my ADHD.
That's okay. I'm that way, too. Now, I was never spanked, and so I never was taught to use that. And I took early childhood development at Wingate, and then I took some courses through Calvary because I also worked here in the three-year-old room. And I learned by trial and error. When my children did something really wrong, I
who threw the rock at the car?
It was Matthew. Yours? And who threw the watch on top of the school of the? That was Jason. And he threw a rock on a Mercedes Benz too.
Remember? Oh no! That was costly. But no, I just learned that with children that the most important thing is to take away something.
That's what I meant.
That
consequence.
Yes. That,
let them choose.
Yes. That take away something that they really love and
let them choose.
With
it,
all
right?
Of my children, it was something very different.
Right.
It was,
you have
you
to
know,
go by their personality.
It was something very, very different. Some of them could not stand to sit in their room, and so
I couldn't stand to write. I will not go in Jason's room 100 times. And she used to try to put many puzzles together to write it. I still got them to this day. But I would let them choose whether I'd say okay. And they hated for me to keep my voice calm. That's why they got so upset with me about a month ago when I raised my voice. They freaked out.
Yeah.
They thought something was madly wrong with me because I raised my voice because of something wrong in this house. And they thought that I was losing my mind or something. But anyway, let me rewind. I would say, okay, you can't go outside, or you have to stay in your room, or you have to go to timeout, or you can't have dessert, or you have to write 100 times, I will not, or, you know, stuff like that. I gave them their own consequences to choose so they felt in control of their punishment because they did what they did wrong. Like, for an example, Jason killed a frog, and I made him go find the mother frog and tell the mother frog he was sorry.
Oh. I bet he never
killed a frog again.
No.
Because my brother John would take a frog, and I will never forget this. This is why. My brother John would take a frog, and he would put it in an ice cream freezer and then break off its leg because he said that it was an amphibian or whatever they call it, and it would grow a frog's leg back. Or he'd take a cat and he'd swing it around and make it, you know, cry and all this stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, Johnny was like that. And so I'm a tenderhearted, and so my children were raised so that they would respect and love other little things, creatures great and small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine all love it. In fact, my oldest used to take little
Johnny
jewelry boxes and make granddaddy long legs beds with toilet paper.
I remember having to take a butterfly while it was alive and putting fingernail polish on it.
No.
Yeah, no, it was a grasshopper.
No.
Oh, Miss Tucson took her made us do that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Ew. I can't say that.
Oh, my gosh. It slipped out. Don't. Well, we call her that because she made me stay out of
school. That was our third grade teacher. And that is sort of the truth. She was a little on the large side.
But she was only called that because she made me. I'm not kidding, but I'm so upset over that kickball. That was the major kickball team against Lawrence Bowen.
Yep. And Kathy stood up and did a tap dance, and so she couldn't play.
That was just showing you your tap dance from those nights.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to over, or are we through with over?
Well,
Barney spanked her children, right?
No, Julie did.
Julie spanked her.
Yes.
She only had one at the time.
She had one and a baby. And she was humiliated, and so she never spanked again. I think Julie listened to the psychiatrist and the pediatrician. I think Julie took it all in. And I think Julie at that point started realizing, really thinking about what spanking meant. And I know everybody.
And I was told if I cried, I'd get spanked harder because he didn't want to wake that mama up because mama couldn't stand it to get spanked.
That's not appropriate.
But then, all of a sudden, when he became a Christian, he was like so sorry.
Yeah, well, that's good. That is good that he.
Oh, it tore him up.
Yeah, but
he said he was listening with his mind and not his heart.
Right.
That's where I came up with listen with your heart and not your mind because your mind is man-made.
when God told me that in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke that really loud in a voice, and it was after Daddy died I heard it. He was, and I've only heard this thunderous voice twice, and one was, do not fall into the ways of man.
Uh-huh. I heard that real loud, and it was like Jason was over my bed, asleep, and then I heard, listen with your heart and not your mind, because your mind is man-made of people, places, and things along the way. But that was after Daddy died. And Daddy had spoke to me in the barn one day when Captain was really sick, my horse, and he says his mind was saying one thing, but his heart was meaning another. And then I heard that. So it was like, I guess, you know, when you go to heaven, there's all different kinds of things that go on along the way. But, you know, God, who knows what heaven's like, or stars are like, or the, you know, that picture that you took in my backyard today of
uh-huh.
the sun?
Uh-huh.
I was messing with that. Of this thing is still uploading because it's so big, of the sun sets and stuff like that, because you take some gorgeous sun pictures. But I was messing with it. It looked like an entity. The clouds looked like it was holding the sun.
Yes. It looked like it was.
And it makes you just say, how in the world, the knowing, you know, the knowing, Bunny, is like, you
God
haven't ever read any of my pages, have you?
Because
you're just now learning the internet.
Yeah.
Everyone, Bunny is just now learning the internet. Watch out, Bunny is here she comes. I think I'm going to start having her on more often because, y'all, she has just burst into a new beginning of so many different things. And she teaches me, as you know, that thing that I've told you on the internet, a radio station, cbsradio.com, is that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, thus the teacher becomes the student. It's just like that, you know. And also, I'm telling you, every time I speak anything, it's what I need to hear from my own self. Because when I speak something back, when something, like I said, you know, I repeat myself over and over and over. And that's because I need to hear something again. And also, oh my gosh, I want to tell y'all something. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you. I was visiting, I like to visit different people, like nursing homes and stuff like that. And I like to take my puppy, wubby, girly, whirly to different places. And there was this one woman, and she kept going, am I dead yet? Do you remember that, Bunny?
Yeah.
And she'd go, thought I was. And then she'd go, did I lie? And then she'd go, thought I did. And she kept saying that over and over and over. And I would say, and I asked them if I could find out her name. And I just brushed her hair and I put lotion on her. And I, oh, God, love her. And then she got some medicine in her. Like about 6 months later, I asked what happened to her. And she had gone home with her family and she was fine. But I went. You know, I wanted to know what happened to the woman. You know how you just want to find out about other people? But she wasn't at that nursing home anymore. That was where my mother's best friend was.
Oh.
The one that's near your neighborhood?
Yeah.
Aunt Lucille's? Oh.
Yes.
Remember Aunt Lucille?
We went in there.
And all she could remember was Jesus Loves Me.
Uh-huh.
That's the only song she had, Alzheimer's. And I told you Mama's fertile alarm died. And she said its memory was gone, and she said it had Alzheimer's. This photo thing, arrow. Okay, the photo bucket. It's been blocked because of the copyright. That song
oh.
we put on it, so I have to do it again. Okay. Well, that's good that photo bucket blocks that. You know, my high in the sky, I want to tell you guys something. I should take this as a compliment, by the way. But, you know, my high in the sky photograph, of where the we were talking last week of the angel figure that wrote high in the sky that's in my different photographs. Well, I was given getting ready to change Bunny's page, and I went to something called Hello, You're on the Air.
Hi, Kathy. This is Madeline T.T.
Hey, Madeline T.T., the godmother of my children.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. You had told me earlier you were talking earlier that you were going to be talking on angels, but I haven't been able to tune in. So I was wondering, is that the topic we're still on?
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about all kinds of stuff. We just been bouncing around subjects.
Oh, okay.
Well, Bunny's right here. Do you want to say hey?
Hi, Bun Bun.
Hey, matey. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Matey's the one, everybody, listeners, that just came back from the Holy Land. Right, matey? And
yeah.
She's the one I was talking about that jumped on the trampoline at 52 years old.
Yeah, Kathy and I used to jump on the trampoline in high school, and one of the neighbors had one, so I went down and...
I was telling them that we used to do, what we used to do? We used to show off. We used to do, matey, we used
Level
to do things for people to show, we used to show, like, shows.
And in high school we did, did the big trampoline show. Well, when they had trampolines in high school, they don't have, they're outlawed now, but we were at the tail end and we were blessed to have been able to do that in high school. But I also have a trampoline at home that we, Kathy and I used to do all these tricks on, flips and back flips and swivel hips, and I forget all some of those names, all those fancy names that we learned when we went to the YMCA and used to jump on the trampoline and did the...
Wyatt's Gym, too.
I'm sorry?
Wyatt's Gym with Beth Diamond and Abby that calls in sometime, Abby's sister.
Yeah.
We could buy at STEM, and that's how you learned how to drive the stick shift.
That's right, and Beth was the one that took me to the YMCA.
Yeah.
Where we used to jump on the trampoline.
And do the high and low bar, what is that called, I remember?
Uneven parallel bars.
And that was tough, and the horse and everything like that, and we used to roller skate into... 7 or 8 miles, we would roller skate and all that stuff. This is Maddie. Y'all, now that I've brought y'all into who she is and the mother, the godmother of my children, we were going to discuss angels. But Maddie, I don't know if you got that email where my copyright High in the Sky was used for, but I guess it's a compliment, but they used it as MySpace pages and stuff.
Oh, wow. I did see that, but I didn't click on the link. But I did see where you said that somebody used part of your...
But that's pretty weird.
I'm sorry?
That's pretty weird.
That is weird, yeah.
But the angels are everywhere.
The angels are everywhere. Oh, let me tell you my big one angel experience I've had. I mean, I know that I have a guardian angel, and angels are always with me, but... one night I had fallen asleep, and you know how you get into that real deep sleep. I was in this real deep sleep very shortly after I lay down, and I had this dream, and it was I had dreamed that I was underneath. It was an angel wing, and all I could see was this big angel wing, like I was in the armpit of the angel, and I could see the feathers and the wing coming down on my right side, and the fluffy feathers. And then it was just so wonderful. And then the phone rang and woke me up out of my wonderful experience. I was like, oh, bummer. I would have loved to continue that dream. But shortly after that, guy had washed the car, and it was cold. And so outside, and the driveway was all slick with ice. Well, I parked my car, and I ran down the driveway to get the mail. Well, as soon as I started running down, I had forgotten that there was ice covering the driveway. Well, I was in a running already, and I hit that ice, and I flew up in the air, landed straight on my back, and I am, like, laying on this driveway, and there was, like, 3 cars that drove by, and I am like, why are these people not stopping? Because, I mean, I didn't know if I was hurt or what. But then after a few minutes, I got my senses, and I slowly got up, And I just know at that moment that the angel had protected me from that fall, and that dream just came so real to me that angels are real, that God has the protection out there for us. And Psalm, if you have never read Psalms 91, it's the angel, the protection of the angel in the Bible. And it's just a wonderful psalm to read. And it just talks about angels. And, you know, and also, like when you were talking about, like, pictures, when people take pictures, sometimes you can see angels and like, the clouds shaped like angels. And I've seen many of those. But then also this one guy, am I talking too much or is this okay? I'm just rambling.
Maybe about Wendy and the angel at her hospital?
No, I didn't hear that. Now, what is this about Wendy?
I'll tell you in a minute after you finish.
Oh, okay. No, but you can get both sides of pictures, because on ElijahList.com they send out wonderful emails. It's a Christian emails that they send out. But there was this one guy, he had a picture taken of him and his wife, and I just can't remember exactly how long after he had looked at the picture. He was going back through his pictures, and he saw his picture of him and his wife, but in the background he could see like a werewolf looking, a wolf looking guy behind him. And when he saw that picture, he looked at it and he went, oh my goodness. And he, at that moment when he saw that picture, he realized that he was into drugs and that there was a demonic force on him. And he, at that time, after he saw that picture, he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and he was broken from you know, that hold on his life just by seeing that picture. So anyway, I just thought that was a neat story too. That
that's weird.
You know, the different things you can see in pictures and. Anyway, so tell me about your angel thing with Wendy.
Well, Wendy, Marty's sister, the father of my children.
Yes.
She works in the neonatal intensive care, and she stopped by to get her check. And she, you know, falls in the helicopters for, she's almost the doctor, but she's not. And she stopped by to get her check, and a little teeny weeny baby was really, 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 really sick. I mean, it was the size of, you know, just real small. And another lady had stopped by to get her check. You know, it was just that time. And she had two of her children there. One child was about 4 years old, and then another child was about two and a half to 3 years old. And maybe the child was 5 years old and 3 years old. I think that's right. But this is so true and so real. This happened a couple of years ago. And you know the little window that you can see through, but you can't get in because it's, you stop and you have to scrub before you go into the neonatal intensive care room?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, the little five-year-old could see up, but she couldn't see at eye level, but she could see up, and she could see her mother having to hurry up and work at the hospital bed.
Mm-hmm.
And over, but she couldn't, you know, and she was waiting on her mother, because all of a sudden her mother rushed over there, and she started working. Evidently, this is just what Wendy told me. The lady went out to the elevator with her children, and anyway, the lady called back to Wendy, because Wendy decided to go on and work, because to make a long story short, she called back, and Wendy answered the phone, and Barbara said, Wendy, is there any lights over that bed that the baby had just passed away? It didn't make it. And she said, is there any lights over baby so-and-so's bed that could have made any images of anything? And Wendy goes, no, just the regular light, you know. And she said, well, my daughter said, Mommy, is there always angels with you when you go to work? And she said, well, of course, honey, we always have angels around us. And she goes, but do you always see angels when a baby passes away? And she did not know that that baby had passed away, and she did not know that that baby was black. She did not know anything about that baby, but she said, does the angels always take the babies up, the little black babies and all the colored babies up when they die? And she did not know that the baby had passed away or anything, but her little five-year-old little girl saw through the window the angel come and take the baby up.
Wow.
And then our nephew Stephen, when his father fell over on him on the four-wheeler, remember, Claude, when he had passed away?
Uh-huh.
And hunched over on Stephen at 9 years old?
Uh-huh.
And Stephen said that these big, tall angels came, and one hovered over Claude while the two angels, he says, I ran so hard, Aunt Kathy, that my heart didn't even hurt. But these two angels picked me up and carried me while all the way back to the hunting house, because they were at the hunt, they were, he was a mile and a half into the woods, and carried him up to the hunt house, and his heart didn't even hurt to get his big brother to bring him back to his father that had passed away.
Wow. Oh, I love hearing those type of angel stories.
Yeah, and he described them and everything, and he said they were really tall.
Mm.
But the other angel stayed with his dad.
Oh, wow. You know,
when my dad died, David, my brother David, had the angel, the big aura angel around him. And then when his son was born, it's in the pictures, he had the halo around his little son Ledger around his hand.
Mm. Oh, how sweet. So sweet.
Dad, well, David found out on his birthday that he was pregnant. Stacy handed him a pregnancy test for his present, just like I did with Marty on our anniversary with Jason. But that was, Daddy died in March, and David found out he was pregnant in August. And that was the first grandchild, and Daddy was, like, holding him in heaven. And he had the aura, you know, the white halo around his pants, fist, and that's when I started getting the pictures.
Oh, that's right. I did see some of those pictures.
Yeah.
It's for good, yes.
Oh, matey, thank you so much for calling in. It's got any good stuff that you can tell us about the Holy Lands?
I'm sorry now?
About the Holy Lands, and you work for an evangelist, and...
Yes, I do, and I was blessed and had just a wonderful time over in Israel. But I do have Psalm 91. I just wanted to...
I'm going to read it?
To, say this, read this part to you, if that's okay. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thy trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. But anyway, I wanted to just read that real quick because of the feathers and under His wings because of that dream that I had. But, yes, I was...
beautiful. And inside a feather is always another feather. Inside of that feather is always another feather. Inside of that feather and continue. It's on and on and on and on and on.
Yes.
Do you remember the story of the little boy that wanted to fly and he made the wings because he wanted to be like an angel?
No, tell it.
I read that in school. But he couldn't fly because the wax melted in the sun, and his father told him he couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
That was a Greek mythology.
It was.
But he wanted to be like an angel.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I love the 23rd Psalm, too.
Oh, that is a good one, yes. Yes, that is a good one.
My shepherd I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul.
Mm.
I've got the Precious Moment Bible right out here, too. Oh, matey,
you know what?
Where is your book? We can read the devotions for the day. If Mama
the book that I gave you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, while you're finding the book. Oh, here's another one in Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways.
Oh, and Matthew 7:7 is, is asking you shall receive, nothing you shall find. I mean, what is it that Grandmama always said? Asking you shall receive, knock, and the door will be opened, and seeking you shall find.
That's right.
Say it right. Okay, matey, I'm looking for your book, that's Grandma.
Okay.
But it was out. See, when I went to the hospital, they moved every little thing. It's a red book, and it's my daily devotion. And I have also this book that's called Letting Go and Letting God. It's the first one.
Oh, who's that by?
It's by, it's called Steps in Living. It's Albert E. Cliff, C-L-I-F-F-E. It's called Letting, Let Go and Let God.
Ooh.
The very first, you know, that's where that Let Go and Let God comes from.
Yes, yes. I've heard that saying. I didn't realize there was a book.
Yeah, and in my bookmark it says, I will hear the songs, I will see the light, I will feel the love on the cold wintry night. I will share the hopes and all the cares. I will remind you to please say your prayers. But it says letting go and letting God. Let go and let God is an inspiring and affirmative guide to victorious living and a Canada layman who assumes leadership of the movement of spiritual healing within the framework of organized religion. The book provides a modern and easy-to-understand Christianity that can be accepted by members of any denomination and used to make their lives happier and healthier and more rewarding in every degree. The author emphasizes the 10 steps which must be taken to make a life worthwhile and discuss them in detail. 10 of the 22 stimulating chapters of this book are devoted to them. And then it tells, you know, the different 10 steps, but I think we're out of time. It's 10 o'clock on the dot. Oh, let me tell you the 10 steps. Getting along with people, freeing yourself from fear, practicing kindness, getting back on track, establishing right relationships, building a name for yourself, adjusting your life, using the force of ideas, discovering your underlying motives, overcoming any feeling of inferiority. Those are the 10 steps. And this is Lights Pathfinders, Cassie Cook, Cassie Hill, and this is Madeline T.T., Madeline Teresa is her name, and Bunny Brown. Say bye-bye, Bunny.
Bye. Bye, matey.
Bye. Love and blessings to you all.
And thank you, BBS Radio, over and out.